Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back in Thursday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. Kramer Sansone producing today. Normally joins us Wednesdays at 9 o'clock, but this week on a Thursday we had to get in the Singer and Bubich start.
That's exactly right.
Royals manager Mike Matheny.
Look, I'll tell you what, Skip. If you're as impressed as we were, man, I'm glad you held off the Thursday because we can talk about these two studs at the top of your rotation. Who, man, neither Josh and I smoke, but it's smoke a cigarette time when we watch these guys pitch. Man, are you as excited and impressed with what they've done so far as we've been?
You know, both of them have done such a great job. And everyone, I think, was kind of wondering what was it that was seen. And especially Chris Bubich. Everybody had heard of Brady and so excited to just get any of the young players in here to watch them compete. But I think last night was a pretty good representation of why we've all been so eager to get Chris here. It's the kind of stuff that you see can go through a lineup like he did, primarily even with his fastball first time through, and then just added pitches as he went. It was fun to watch. Just a shame not to be able to give him a chance to win right there. But also Brady continues to keep us in games the way that he's using his pitches, the way he just competes. There's just something about every time he gets on the mound, you know he's going to do something to keep you in a game. But both of these young guys have done everything we've expected of them so far.
Yeah, and to me, and I said this, and maybe you can have a frame of reference for this, maybe not. I think it's the best rotation that this organization has had since Sabes and Gubazon in the 80s, man. Like, I am that impressed with these guys, knowing every single night you go out there, you got an awesome chance to win with those two guys on the mound, and then Duffy pitching the way that he did the other night, and Junis was really good, and excited to have Keller back. Like, your rotation is pretty, pretty good, Mike.
Yeah, going from where we had a two-man rotation to now.
Yeah.
you're exactly right. With every one of these guys, you know you're going to keep you in a game. And Duff has done such a great job. I mean, he just looks like a guy that's on a mission right now. He wants to figure out how to lead this group the right way, and he's doing it. He's setting the example. He came in and was just nasty in Chicago, and he's taking it real personal that this is his staff to take charge of, and especially while Brad and Jake were down. Jake came back, did a great job last time, and last we saw Brad and he threw his live session the other day, he just looked strong. Everything was coming out of his hand nice, and the perfect addition to what we need right now.
With Brad Keller specifically, since he's obviously starting tonight, sound like he's really excited, hearing from him yesterday, like excited to get back, and was kind of, you know, disappointed you missed out. How do you kind of temper those things? Just go out and throw and not worry about time you may have missed and making up for that.
Yeah, I think that's part of why we had to be really careful, is he just didn't see exactly what he was wanting to feel. The ball wasn't coming out like he wanted, and you can't expect it to when you have these kind of breaks where you have to be set down in isolation and into quarantine. And we're always going to try and figure out how to protect their health as best we can, too, and to make sure that we're not setting them up to go on a downward spiral health-wise, and let alone just in the competition itself. But I think Brad has just been this guy has been so eager to get out there from day one, and you guys know how he's wired. He's just a horse. Man, he just wants to go, and it's going to be hard to hold him back a little bit, just like every other pitcher. We talk about him like he's a seasoned vet, but he's still a young pitcher too, but he's got that excitement to get out and help us get things moving in the right direction.
And I also think not just your starting staff, but your bullpen has been pretty awesome too. I mean, from Zuber to Stamont to even Barlow last night, a guy you're using more than anybody, and we're not the only ones noticing. I want to play you this from the Cubs broadcast, and then I want to get your reaction to it, because we heard this and we're like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. So this was the Cubs broadcast on Tuesday night.
99 on that yep. first fastball.
Yeah.
Yee. Hey. This is nasty. Man, what I wouldn't give to have a man bun and a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. Wow, that's a combo right there, baby. I'm so jealous. I mean, that is straight butter over the top to the bottom of the knees at 99. That's
unfair. Makes me very happy to be retired.
And that's Mark Race at the end. I'm very happy to be retired. CBS Sports said Josh Stamont may have the best stuff in all of baseball. I mean, where have you been hiding this guy from the rest of the league, Mike? Man, what he did the other night in Chicago was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was fun to see. And wait till they see the man bun support 103, because we still know that that's in there too. And you know, he's the kind of pitcher just like the rest of these guys. They're just incremental steps, those building blocks that we do talk about at times. To where I think last year he came up, he was just really concentrating on finding the zone, and he was holding back a little bit. But it's in there. There's no question about it. And, you know, Josh will be the first one to talk about Trevor Rosenthal and how Trevor has kind of helped him think about himself as a power pitcher, how to go out in the mentality and just the thought process of how to use the big fastball, how to let it fly, where you should be thinking about in the zone. Where you have more chance of error, and we're watching Josh just build confidence every time he goes out there. So you mix that with what Trevor is doing right now. Greg Holland is just continuing to get better. You know, it was unfortunate we didn't make a play last night to get Ian out with three up, three down, and you know we have. And you mentioned Barlow. Barlow's last two outings to me have been as nasty as anybody too. He's getting the velocity up. The slider looks sharp. We've got those guys that once we do get into those close games, which it's been that way almost every single night, where we're going right through them, and they're continuing to improve, continuing to support each other. Just like to see them operate with a lead.
Do you think you will go with a man bun soon, or is that just strictly for Stamont?
I think you've got enough hair to do it.
No. Mine's all smoke and mirrors, man. I'm just trying to hide where it's all falling out. But mine's laziness. Laziness. I just don't like cutting it. I cut it myself, and I just don't get around to it very often. But Josh has got style. The guy is strong as a bull, too. I mean, he doesn't look it. He looks like some thin guy out there. You watch him in the weight room, and we got to be careful, because, I mean, he's throwing around all kinds of weight. But he's got a plan. He's got a routine. He knows what he likes to do. But, yeah, we've got a – you know, Barlow walks in every once in a while with a man bun. And so, yeah, that's not really in my game.
You cut your own hair?
Just too lazy to go and have anybody else do it. So that's been a long time of just trying to put it together and figure it out and not spend too much time worrying about it.
What do you have, like a Flowbee or something? Like how do you do your own hair?
Actually, I do have one of those, but I usually will use clippers and just kind of guesstimate where it needs to be. Yeah, it's really not. It's pretty loose science.
The good news is you have a hat to cover it if you make a major mistake.
You
right?
know, they have a barber shop like 10 feet outside your office, right? On the other side of that hallway there. You can go over there and get your hair cut.
I've heard about that. But you know what? Seems like I got a lot to do when I'm around the yard.
I think you know what? I'm going to have to ask Dayton to get you a raise. Obviously, you can't afford the haircut.
How do you what's the message you tell your offense, and how do you kind of get that jump started? You mentioned, I know, a couple times after games that it's been close, but we haven't seen kind of that breakout yet.
Yeah, we're not paid for close. We're paid to win, and that's I know the frustration of our club is the frustration of our fans. We want to see this team pull it out, and you know, especially a night, two nights ago, we're in Chicago, and we get everything that we're looking for, right? We have the pitching that keeps us where we want to be. Then we get in there, you're seeing the at bats where guys are fighting deeper in the count. I thought Bubba had one of those. You know, that's kind of the idea of what we're looking for here. You're late in the game, they're trying to close it out. He's fighting off pitches, and then he smashes a ball, and they make a really nice play. But the intent, the fight, all that was there. And but you got to see the reward. You can be talking about it all you want, but until you see the reward, and the reward is us being able to flat fives. However, we can do that within our protocol of social distancing. I don't know, but the idea of us celebrating a win when we go about it the right way. And there have been things that have been going the right way, unfortunately. And I keep talking to the guys, but we just have to keep focusing on the process of doing the little things right. We got to focus on the importance and the urgency of every single pitch, because it has come down to a pitch, it has come down to an at bat, it has come down to a play. For every single one of these, except maybe one game where we got out of control with Cleveland. Besides that, every one of these could have been flip-flop. And it's just a matter of, one, we got to have some of the positive reinforcement. Two, we got to keep working to get better. And, I mean, whether it's more work defensively, it's more work in the cages. But, you know, you get some positive reinforcements, too, when you know that our team's been hitting the ball hard. You get some of the data back that says we're hitting the ball as hard as anybody in the league. I know that's great reinforcement to the process that I know our hitting coaches are going through. But it's still, in the end, we're a results-driven business, and we've got to figure out ways to kind of get past where we are right now. And there's another step to get us there, and even another step to where we believe that we can be winning on a consistent basis.
Well, I mean, you watch the offense, obviously, and it's, you know, putting up one run a game, and it's frustrating a lot for fans and whatnot. Do you as a manager feel like, all right, maybe we need to steal more bases, do the hit and run some more, maybe sacrifice, like try to manufacture some runs to try to get stuff there? Like, what can you do as a manager? Because fans always want to say, well, he should flip the table and yell at these guys. I'm like, that doesn't work. That hasn't worked in 20 years. So it's like, what can a manager do in this situation?
Well, just so people know, if I did flip the table and yell at these guys, nobody would ever know except those guys. I mean, that's, I believe, the way it's supposed to go. It's not about getting up and trying to appease the masses. It's about telling truth. And there's sometimes where that needs to happen, and it does, and it has. And part of that is just making sure that the purpose isn't trying to put on a spectacle for the world, but what do we need for this club? And to be honest, and to do our part every night. I mean, it's on me. I mean, every single night, there's something that could have done different, whether it's how the lineup's constructed or a move that's made. I get that. That's what you sign up for. So that's all we think about. I go to bed thinking about what could we have done in each and every situation. We go through and rewatch the game, literally, and then you rewatch it again in your mind another time or two before your body will let you even go to sleep. And so you're thinking about, you know, times where we did try to get the hit and run in, or where we did try and do bunts, or how could we maybe get something jump started here, or who's the guy that could be that spark that we need that'll give us a little something different, or who needs a rest. I mean, all of those things, that's basically the job, is you sit around and think about all those things all day, every day, until you get it right. And then it's you think about them all day and all night trying to keep them right. And that's the beauty of the position. But right now you're in one of those runs where it seems like when you're trying all those things, the ones you're trying aren't the right ones. So what you do is you keep fighting. That's exactly the message that I give these guys. It's just, we're responsible for how we go about our business, how we work, how we prepare, how we compete. Those are the three things that we know that if we check off, then we've done what we can, but it doesn't make it any easier when it's not going right.
Well, and now you get some new regulations you guys got to start following beginning today with the masks and more social distancing stuff and not being able to, you know, leave the hotel and stuff like that on the road. And we kind of joked, it's like now every team's got kind of like a babysitter standing at the door making sure nobody comes and goes. How are the new regulations going to affect you guys and the way you've been dealing with this coronavirus?
Well, as far as that goes, I'm good with it. I mean, we shouldn't be doing anything anyhow. We haven't been for the most part, as far as I know. Once again, I'm not monitoring the halls, so I'm glad somebody else is, just to help keep guys in check. But it's been quarantine. It's been a bubble between the hotel and the stadium, for the most part, anyhow. But we just haven't had anybody kind of watching for any weak points where someone might be stepping out of line. So I think it's good. I've got no issue with it whatsoever, and I think it'll help just hold another level of accountability to the group.
You guys got roster reductions coming up in the next day or so. How are you looking at that? What are you planning on doing? Maybe not with who, but like how do you structure the roster now that you have to kind of eliminate two players?
Yeah, you know, obviously we've had the ability, and going with 17 games in a row here, it's been important to have enough arms more than anything else. And obviously for me, it's been all new with the DH and not having to keep so many guys on the bench that are available. But we've had our bench ready every night. I can't tell you, it's been at least 15 or 20 at-bats where Nick Heath has had his helmet on, ready to come in and either steal a base or try and score on an extra base hit, to where we know that there are guys on our bench that we're going to use, but we haven't really had those opportunities where we're getting guys on base to make it happen. So we like having that flexibility on the bench. We're just going to have to wade through. We got some tough decisions to make. We either have that flexibility to bring in those weapons off the bench, whether it's a pinch hit at bat, even we saw early on a pinch bunt at bat, whether we go that direction or we continue to protect our arms. And I still think early on we got to be very careful of how we have coverage down there. In case something happened early, we need to have enough arms to get us through without stretching anybody too far to get them hurt.
Now we're looking forward to tonight getting Keller back out there on the mound. And tonight's the night you break it open, man. You're going to score 7 runs, all right? You're going to score 7 runs. Keller's going to pitch well. The bullpen's going to dominate. We get this win tonight, all right?
I'm going to hold you to it. I appreciate it. Can't wait.
All right, my man. Get that haircut, all right?
All right, guys.
All right, take care. Mike Matheny with us here on 610 Sports Radio, who
got his own hair.
Using a Flowbee.
Yeah, yes. There you go. That's right.
Took one thing away from the show today. Matheny uses a Flowbee.
That's right. But I said you got the hat to cover it. If you do something wrong, you just put the hat on.
Just put the hat on.
Yeah, yes. You're safe.
You and I have worn a lot of hats since quarantine started, too.
another opt-out, but don't sweat it. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Our thanks to Mike Matheny, Royals manager. Normally Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. This week we did Thursday with him, but normally Wednesdays at 9 for our chat with the Royals manager. You can check it out in the on-demand section, 610sports.com, or via the radio.com app. Royals and Cubs tonight, 6:07, a little bit earlier start time tonight here on 610 Sports Radio. So an hour earlier today, 6:07 first pitch, and then Vern has your pregame at 5. All right, news from the Chiefs today via Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Was the first to report through a source that Lucas Niang, the Chiefs' third-round draft pick out of TCU, the offensive lineman, has decided to opt out the upcoming season. So Chiefs rookie deciding to opt out this upcoming year. So Niang will be not a part of the Chiefs this year. And I would say just don't sweat it.
Right.
One, it's kind of the advice that I gave KU basketball fans for a long, long time. Like, if a recruit doesn't come, you never had him,
right?
So at this point you never had Lucas Niang,
right?
So don't worry about it.
Yeah,
and like don't sweat it. Like he'll be back next year, right?
Right.
It's kind of like a red shirt, although I don't think you can be, with clarify this, I don't think you can be anywhere near if you opt out, right?
I'll clarify that at some point today. I'll try to get some information,
because I'm thinking if you opt, you're done. So he's gonna have to still probably rehab the hip and all those things on his own, but especially there, you never had it, so don't worry about it.
And long term, you essentially get now a fifth year option on this guy too.
If he was considered coming out like a little bit of a project,
right?
Now, yeah, you wish you could have that project in the midst of working with the team and all those other things. But again, they have the ability to opt out. I respect their choice to opt out. And again, this one especially, I wouldn't sweat because you never had him in your lineup to begin with.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. And the offensive line, you know, you're looking, and I'll project it, Fisher at your left guard, Osemele at your left guard, Fisher at your left tackle, Osemele at your left guard, Austin Ryder at your center, Wiley as your right guard, Mitchell Schwartz as your right tackle, and then you got Remmers and Allegretti kind of as your swing tackle, swing guard. Allegretti can play the center position as well. You got Martinez Rankin as well. And there's a bunch of other guys that are out there. They're probably going to keep about 10 offensive linemen on the roster. So it's not the depth that you wanted with Niang, but hey, you know what? You still got yourself a pretty good offensive line. All right, a really cool thing's happening. My guy, Mike Stanley, buddy of mine for, I don't know, 30 years? No, not 30 years, about 25 years. He works with Braden's Hope, and his daughter Callan had...
That five-year difference was big to you, right? You didn't want to oversell your friendship?
I didn't want to oversell old we are or not old we are yet, Mike. I'm still trying to buy us some years from college. But your wife works with Braden's Hope, works for Braden's Hope, and obviously you guys with Callan's Course for Hope with your daughter who had eye cancer, and two foundations coming together as one to fight pediatric cancer right here in Kansas City. Awesome. And we know leading up to September, Pediatric Cancer Month, and we've all been in a pandemic, but you guys still need money to fight pediatric cancer and to help out, you know, Children's Mercy Hospital. And you got a pretty cool thing going on where it's not going to cost people a lot of money, and it's going to, you know, get you some good eats as well, too, huh?
Absolutely. How are you guys doing this morning?
Wonderful, my man.
Great. Hey, thanks. As you know, Bob, my daughter, Callan, we started an event branch under the Braden's Hope umbrella called Callan's Course for Hope. And every year we host a charity golf tournament, and it's sold out. It's going to be August 28th. It's going to be a great event. And our Golden Title sponsor, they've been our Golden Title sponsor for two years now, is an organization based in Overland Park called KDB Foods. And you may not be familiar with that name, but you're definitely familiar with their brands. And so they own about 30 Kentucky Hut KFCs and Kentuckos around the Kansas City area. So starting tomorrow, August 7th, and runs for 2 weeks, so August 7th through the 21st, they've got a coupon program. So you go through their drive-thru. I know, Bob, you like tacos and chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe both together.
Josh likes them all.
Yes, I can taco a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, I think on Fridays you make your Costco run on Metcalf, right? So what I advise you to do, and your listeners, is go to the Kentucky at 119th and Metcalf, go hit the drive-thru, and as you place your order, they're going to say, hey, would your purchase donate a dollar today to Braden's Hope? And of course, you're going to say yes. You pay them an extra dollar, and then in turn, they're going to give you a coupon. They have a coupon program. They're going to give you a coupon for a free crispy kernel sandwich and fries to be used in the month of September. So you donate a dollar, and you get a chicken sandwich and fries in return to use next month. So it's a great program.
That's cool.
And I can't thank KDP enough for being a great partner and helping make our tournament a success.
Is it just the one at 119th and Metcalf, Mike, or can they go to any kind of Kentucky all over the area and do this?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bob. So
thank you.
I've got a list of their – yeah, you're a smart man. You must be on a KU. So they've got about 30 locations around the metro. I've got a screenshot. I'll tweet it to you, and if you'd be kind enough to retweet it to your listeners, they can know which location is near them. They range from Harrisonville to Gladstone to Overland Park. They're all over Kansas City. So, yeah, it's a great deal, a great program.
So donate a dollar in the next 2 weeks, get a free coupon for a sandwich and fries that you can use in September.
That's right. So you could go every day in the next 2 weeks and get your, you know, get a soft taco,
right?
And a drink. Donate a buck, and they're going to give you a coupon. So you could feed your family for the next 30 days on crispy kernel chicken sandwiches, which I would advise. I've done that before.
I bet you have.
Yeah.
All right. But the golf tournament sold out, though, so they can't get into the golf tournament, right?
Yeah, the golf tournament sold out. We will be happy to, like, if you know friends like, I don't know, the Honey Badger, Ty Matthew, I think you've got some relationships there. You know, we'd love to partner with some people on some great auction items. I think we may be able to make our auction. We're doing it online. We have to make some changes, obviously, with some social distancing. So our auction's going to be online. So we may be able to push that out to your listeners. But, and then the other thing we're really getting ready for is the Braden's Hope Gala, which will be it's the last Saturday in September. And they're moving it to a virtual gala. So a lot of organizations having to pivot and make smart decisions and adjust, right? And so your listeners can go to braidshope.org. They can click on the events tab, and then they'll see the Hope Gala. And you can register anywhere from a dollar to $1,000 And basically, it's a live stream virtual gala that's hosted by Cancer Heroes. We'll be emceeing it. They've been making videos the past couple weeks. And you can host a watch party just with your family or have a couple friends over and doing a gala online. So, obviously, organizations are having to change a little bit, but the need for funding childhood cancer never stops and is bigger more than ever. So, we're trying to do our part. And thanks to KBP Foods with their coupon program and the virtual gala, they're hoping to reach some lofty goals to fund KU Cancer Centers and Children's Mercy Hospital.
No doubt. Mike, I appreciate the time. Josh left. He went to donate his dollar so he could get his free chicken sandwich.
That's straight.
Josh, you have to wait till tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Start all right.
Tomorrow, Josh, on the 7th, head over to my I don't know if they know me by name, but my favorite location is 119th and Metcalf. So, but Bob, I'll send you the location if you don't mind retweeting it. Then your listeners can hit all the KBP locations around the country.
We will do that, Mike. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
You got it. Take care. Mike Stanley with Braden's Hope and Collins Course for Hope. So donate a dollar over the next 2 weeks, beginning tomorrow at 30 different Kentucky huts around town, and they will in turn give you a coupon for a free Colonel's Crispy Sandwich.
Now,
yeah, the hut is gone.
The hut is gone.
Yeah.
They're just Kentucky.
It's hard to get off the hut.
I know, because it floats so great. I know,
yeah,
I know.
The Kentucky. So donate a dollar, get a free chicken sandwich and fries in return.
I want that grilled cheese.
The grilled cheese covered burrito.
Yeah, I gotta get to that anyway.
Yeah, so you're rolling down there right now.
Baseball's
now we know why Ryan took off this week. He's waiting in line.
That's true. Baseball's buckling down, and we'll drink to that next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Time now for Beers of the Boys. Brought to you by Standard Beverage and powered today by Two Pitchers Brewing. As we have three lovely beers in front of us this morning. Are you thirsty, Bob?
Yeah, bust them out. What are you waiting on?
We're talking about chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about beer. Tommy, good morning. Thanks for joining us. We understand you called in a day early and we couldn't complain. We should have probably had you on yesterday because we were good with starting to drink on a Wednesday.
Hey, I was just raring to go. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Tommy Hester from Two Pitchers Brewing. Three different beers we have in front of us today. I want to start first because it's a Norseman with a sword spiking fruit. So
let's go with that.
Two Pitchers Brewing Nordic Jam. What is tell us about this beer?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually all of these beers that we have here today are craft rattlers. So what we do is we brew small batch beer and then we mix it together with real fruits and juices post-fermentation. So they're all going to be fruitier, a little bit lighter, but perfect for this kind of weather and this time of year. So Nordic Jam is a lager base with elderberry, strawberries, and cherry. So it's going to be kind of like a fruit punch mixed with a beer. It is 5.2% alcohol. It is absolutely delicious. Just really nice and crisp, easy to drink. And like you said, with that Viking on the label, definitely stands out a little bit on the shelf too. So it's again, just really nice and balanced, and that beer base gives it a little backbone with the fruit coming in up front.
All right, brother, this is dangerous. I'm telling you, right? I'm drinking it right now. I'm like that tastes like a high C fruit punch. Like you don't feel like you're drinking anything. And I took the first sip. I'm like, put a little vodka in this. We got ourselves a mixer going on here. Is that something you guys recommend as well? Do you guys have people doing that with it?
Absolutely. We're actually running a program with Total Wine around the country right now with doing some beer cocktails with this thing. You can make a mean sangria. You can make they have that peanut butter, the screwball whiskey. You can do this with a peanut butter and jelly shooter. It's there's a lot of ways to have a pretty good time with this and not a bad one to drink at 9:30 in the morning.
All right. So you said make a mean sangria. My wife loves the sangria stuff. So what would you recommend to make a sangria with this?
Honestly, so what we did is we mixed it. I think it was 1-to-1 with a rosé that they had in house, and then garnished it with other fruits as well. But it came out amazing just with that. It was pretty simple, and at least I had a pretty good time drinking it. So
yeah,
so, I highly recommend.
So when you say a 1-to-1, that's one can of the Nordic Jam and one bottle of wine, or how does that 1-to-1 work?
It'd be a 1-to-1 ratio. So you know, if you're putting in a full can, it'd be 12 ounces of wine with that, and then you're ready to go.
T-
two for me, one for you. Yeah. I don't know.
A little wine, a little this.
A little concoction going.
We're trying to keep it easy, yeah.
A little bit dangerous. Well, that's a little bit dangerous.
Oh, this grapefruit rattler that we got
yes,
now,
Tommy,
too.
Tommy Woo. Hester from Two Pitchers Brewing Company is with us today. And, yes, the rattler with grapefruit and a hint of blood orange is the next one up, Tommy.
Yes. Yep, and this one is, again, similar kind of concept, a bit more citrus-focused on this one. So this is, again, a lager base on this with grapefruit juice and blood orange. So we have red and white grapefruit juice. The blood orange is there to mellow out any of the tartness of the grapefruit. And, again, you can taste that real fruit. Mm-hmm. We're not just dumping in a bunch of flavors. So 5.1%. This one's been our number one seller. It absolutely flies for us. And it's again, I think dangerous is the best way to put it. You can't really taste the alcohol in it, and it is as easy drinking as it gets.
I love a grapefruit as well. I mean, it smells like you're having grapefruit, and then, yeah,
It's got alcohol with it. I guess vodka again with this one. Are we doing some kind of orange sangria now? What do we got? What else can we do with this?
No, yeah, vodka with this one. So we've done some great. You can make a mean greyhound with this. And we also have done mimosas too. You can kind of mix this with a little champagne. It's and even straight. Hey.
Yeah. No, straight. It's fantastic. Both of these have been fantastic. I mean,
you're looking to go high octane on these, but these are fine just to drink by themselves.
This is just like sitting in the lake type of drinks, man. This is a perfect sunny summer afternoon type of drinking we got going on here.
Oh yeah. No, that's exactly what we're going for, and it's it's kind of showing that hey, you don't need to you can make something high quality that's fruity and that's easy to drink. It doesn't need to be a triple IPA. You can have something that's kind of fun.
All right, what's our final one here? We've got the Disco Queen, huh?
I love the can on this one.
The Queen's great. It looks a lot like Josh, yeah.
Yeah, with the whole jumpsuit, yeah.
Yeah.
So this one is actually brand new. We just launched this one last week. So it is a rosé-style rattler. So it's a new low-calorie beer base that we developed. So it's only this one comes in at only 100 calories, and it's got hibiscus, pear, white grape, a little bit of cranberry and apple as well. So it's kind of going to be crisp and clean like a rosé. Well, you still get that fruitiness, and it's going to be as clean as it gets. I mean, you can a little lower in alcohol on this one, 4.2%, but just, again, super drinkable, really, really nice.
Do I get my daily allowance of fruit then if I'm having all these as well?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You're getting all your vitamin C. You're getting everything you need right there.
got all our immune boosters in here and all that stuff?
For sure. This will keep you healthy.
Where are you guys out of?
So we're based out of San Francisco. So
oh,
we
nice.
Actually, we started this about 7.5 years ago now, and it was me and my buddy. We met playing college baseball. So we were both pitchers on the baseball team in college. That's where that's where Two Pitchers comes from. But we were on the bench pretty much the whole time, so we had nothing to do to talk about here. And
right.
Figured we'd give this a shot.
Where'd you guys go to school?
Williams College up in Massachusetts, small school out there, and out in the middle of the woods, not much to do except drink beer and play baseball. So.
And then you decided to move the operation to California just because?
So, yeah, my business partner was from out here, and it didn't take a whole lot of convincing. I was from the East Coast originally, but we've been selling out in the, Kansas, Missouri, kind of Midwest area for a few years now. I had some connections out there, and it's been awesome. But, yeah, we're actually building a tap room out in Oakland, so that's going to be ready at the end of this year, beginning of next year. So hopefully, if everything's a little less crazy at that point, we can have some people out for some beers.
Yeah, man, it really good product, man. I really like what you did here with these rattlers, with these fruit. I guess a fruit rattler lager and the Disco Queen. Like, it's really top notch, my man. And I'm not just saying that because you're on. I've enjoyed all three of these today, and so I'll expect some in the mail tomorrow.
Tommy, these are.
Sounds great.
As you mentioned, these are available both sides of the state line, both in Kansas and Missouri?
Yes, that is correct.
Awesome. Tommy Hester from Two Pitchers Brewing. Thanks for the time this morning.
All right. Thanks so much.
And that is Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage. Mm-hmm. The Two Pitchers Nordic Jam, the Disco Queen, and the Rattler, all available now on both sides of the state line.
I think that could be Kramer's new nickname.
What's that?
The Disco Queen.
Disco Queen.
Mm-hmm. I'll allow it.
Well, baseball's clamping down. We'll need to discuss that. And Mike Matheny joined us a little bit earlier. Hopefully get some offense on track. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Again, Mike Matheny normally does join us Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. This week, we had him on today.
That's
at,
right.
At 9 o'clock. So if you missed it a little bit earlier, full interview, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. But we got to a lot of stuff with Mike Matheny, namely that he cuts his own hair.
That was the most important thing, I think, out of all of this, is Mike Matheny actually has a Flowbee.
And he knew what that was. I got one of those. Because there is a barber set up in the stadium.
They actually have a barber pole down there. If you've ever sat in the Crown Club or been down on the lower level of the stadium, when you get off the elevator, you go to your left on level one, and
right between the two clubhouses.
Yeah, there's a barber shop.
There's a barber shop, so you could just go there and get your hair
cut. But maybe not this year with the Rona and everything. You're probably not bringing in, you know, the barber. You do see a lot of long hair right now in Major League Baseball, which is fine.
I feel like the barber's essential person.
Maybe, I don't know, but you do see a lot. I mean, you got a couple of man buns going on out there and whatnot. But you know, so Matheny's like, I just got like this image of him. And he's always voted as one of the best-looking managers in baseball.
Well, he's got what I call great baseball hair, because it flows really nice on the back of the hat.
Back, yeah.
So I'm growing mine out now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's just perfect. He puts a hat on. It's got just the nice curl out of the underside of the hat. So I think he's downplaying his ability to have good baseball hair.
Well, and you know, I grew mine out a while during the quarantine, like we all did, and I eventually had to cut it because I felt like there were spiders crawling on me. Like, I just didn't like it. I'm like, what is, get off. And so I can't imagine having that long hair, you know, in baseball right now, like a lot of these guys do, but it's probably just easier to have the long hair than try to worry about going to get
now,
a haircut.
Now, you mentioned
point.
The man bun, and that's Josh Dumont, obviously, and I would like to see without it. Like, I want to,
no.
I don't think it's a key to his power, though. Do you?
I'm not messing with anything with that guy right now.
But I feel like
Mark Grace was glad to be retired.
I feel like if he took
him.
The hair tie thing out, it would just go poof, and you'd be like, whoa.
Like a perm or something?
So, but I don't know. Maybe it's not long enough for that. Anyway, we got to other things with Mike Matheny as well, not just hair cutting. But certainly the offense has been a problem. That's no secret, right? This team's off to a 3-10 start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some really good pitching performances from the starting group that certainly warranted what looked like victories, like Chris Bubich last night, 6 innings, 2 runs, struck out 6. Certainly looked like he should be in a position to get a win, but did not. As the offense continues to have its problems, and Mike Matheny told us they're trying to focus on doing those little things.
You got to see the reward. You can be talking about it all you want, but until you see the reward, and the reward is us being able to flat fives, however we can do that within our protocol of social distancing, I don't know. But the idea of us celebrating a win when we go about it the right way. And there have been things that have been going the right way, unfortunately, and I keep talking to the guys, but we just have to keep focusing on the process of doing the little things right. We got to focus on the importance and the urgency of every single pitch, because it has come down to a pitch, it has come down to an at bat, it has come down to a play for every single one of these, except maybe one game where we got out of control with Cleveland. Besides that, every one of these could have been flip-flop, and it's just a matter of one, we got to have some of the positive reinforcement. Two, we got to keep working to get better. And I mean, whether it's more work defensively, it's more work in the cages.
Doing those little things, trying to draw some more walks. They had one walk last night again, and Vern has talked about that with us too, our Royals insider Josh Vernier, that his team hasn't done a nice job of drawing walks. Get on base somehow.
Get on base.
Run a little bit more. Try to manufacture some things as well. Stop pressing. All those things. But offensively, you feel like, I felt like last year that there were some signs that this, we had some guys have really good like career type seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had the breakout of Mondi before the injury. We had Hunter Dozier. You get Salvi now back in. This offense, I don't feel like you throw out the lineup every day and I go, whoa, that's a lineup that can't hit. But I need to see them do it because right now it leaves you wanting a lot more. One walk yesterday and 5 hits. Sometimes you tip your cap to the pitcher, but if it's right now I can't tip my cap to the pitcher because it's not a long season anymore. It's like every game certainly matters. Yu Darvish looked like the Rangers early Yu Darvish.
Yep.
He was really good last night. But you need more out of this offense. You need to give your pitchers, you know, your pitchers slumping their shoulders after a little bit, you know, when I pitch good enough to win and I don't have another one.
Right.
So all those things feed off of one another and they need to get it going in quickly. 3-10 is not acceptable.
No, it really isn't, Josh. And we're looking at a ball club right now that has to turn around tonight. I mean, you hate to say there's must wins in baseball, but you're 3-10 in a 60 game season. There are must wins in baseball, and it's now for this club. And I was listening to that Matheny cut that you just played from when we had him on earlier today, and I'm thinking to myself when I'm listening to him, he's not used to 3-10. This guy's from the St. Louis Cardinals organization, right, where they win all the time. Even when he was let go in the middle of the season, they had a winning record, okay? He went to the playoffs a lot when he was managing the Cardinals. So this has to be difficult for him to stomach right now that this ball club is sitting at 3-10. And you know what? That's a really good thing. That's a really good thing that we have a manager who isn't used to losing, and it really bothers him. I mean, what did he tell us? He went home last night and rewatched the game and then rewatched the game in his mind again after it. Like, it's really eating at him. It's bothering at him. He's trying to figure out ways to get this thing moving in the right direction. But eventually, it comes down to players producing and players getting hits and players coming up big in situations where they have an opportunity to come up big in. And I hate to continue to go back to the O'Hearn at bat that took place in what, like the sixth inning last night against Yu Darvish, but a 3-pitch strikeout and he looks at strike three and then walks off in disgust swinging the bat because he's mad at himself. You got to come through in those situations. And that's the only way that this organization is going to find a way out of this funk is if guys start coming through and producing in those situations. And, you know, in a way, this is good because what we're looking at right now, it's not like, boy, they're getting blasted 18-2. The pitching stinks. The defense stinks. The offense stinks. Like, for the most part, everything else is pretty good except for the offense right now. And that's a good thing moving forward. Like, this isn't a 100-loss type of ball club where you look around and you go, God, everything stinks on this entire roster. They got a lot of really good pieces. A lot of really great pieces in this pitching rotation in this bullpen right now. Barlow, Zuber, Stamont, back to back to back. Who's getting on base with those three guys when they're at their best?
Their bullpen solidified. Their starting rotation.
And that's not even counting Holland, Kennedy, and Rosenthal.
Yeah. Their rotation is now solidified as well. Again, Bubich pitched great last night. 2 runs over 6. I'll take it. Singer the night before gave up probably one too many home runs, right? Mm-hmm. 4 runs over, was it? Yeah, I think he went 5 and pitched and gave up the 4 runs, maybe a little bit too high, but not, you know, those types of games happen. Matheny on the starting rotation.
Every one of these guys, you know, you're going to keep you in a game. And Duff has done such a great job. I mean, he just looks like a guy that's on a mission right now. He wants to figure out how to lead this group the right way, and he's doing it. He's setting the example. He came in and it was just nasty in Chicago, and he's taking it real personal that this is his staff to take charge of, and especially while Brad and Jake were down. Jake came back, did a great job last time, and last we saw Brad and he threw his live session the other day. He just looked strong. Everything was coming out of his hand nice, and the perfect addition to what we need right now.
There you go. Brad Keller starting tonight's finale with the Cubs, and a little later than usual. He was vying, obviously, to be the opening day starter, and now isn't going to pitch until game number 14.
This guy has been so eager to get out there from day one, and you guys know how he's wired. He's just a horse. Man. He just wants to go, and it's going to be hard to hold him back a little bit, just like every other pitcher. We talk about him like he's a seasoned vet, but he's still a young pitcher too, but he's got that excitement to get out and help us get things moving in the right direction.
Key to Keller, though, is not trying to make up for lost time. Like,
no, you just...
You had to be out a couple weeks, okay? Right. It's later than
don't
you
try
intended.
To win 3 games tonight. Yeah.
You can't win back the 7 they're behind in the win column right now. But they need to get going and get going soon because we talked about it as soon as that 60-game schedule comes out. We're like, man, 2 weeks? If 2 weeks in, you're treading water, you got a shot, if you're in really this position, you're in some major trouble.
I mean, I think we even said three and ten. We're like, ooh.
Like if I think I said three and 11, 4 and 10. If you're in that range, you're in some major trouble.
Yeah,
that's where they're at, and got to get out of it and quick.
Right.
Again, earlier start time tonight, 6:07 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. That means Vern tonight at 5 for Royals baseball, Royals and Cubs with game number 4 of their set. That'll do it for us, Cody and Gold. Come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.